When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Charmed, and welcome back to Let Me Ruin Your Life with me, Serena Shahidi. Hello, hello, and you know what? And ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays, everybody. I am actually recording this from bed, so very cozy, very holiday vibes. Even though I'm not doing this for the holiday vibes, I'm doing this, I don't have the emotional bandwidth to be sitting in a chair right now. That's just not where I'm at mentally. I'm in a mood. I'm in a mood. You know, when you've been on the phone doing some bullshit all day, trying to solve a problem. I've been on the phone with FIT all day. As you may know, I'm going back to take a few classes and I'm being charged out of state tuition when I do, in fact, live in the state, and they're making me fill out an application to prove that I've lived in the city I've lived in for 5 years. And let me tell you, they make you cross the goddamn seven seas for this in-state tuition. I mean, it's like, it's this application that's asking for like your exact expenses every month, your bank statements, your lease. I don't even want to look at my bank statements, let alone show them to somebody else. How humiliating. Oh my God. When I first went to school, by the way, I tried to apply for in-state tuition after I was living, you know, outside of the dorms for over a year. But I had, you know, a few jobs where I was getting paid under the table, like I was waitressing and stuff. And they were like, oh, clearly you're not financially independent, because you have like no income on your tax returns. Now, all of a sudden I'm expected to pay taxes on the income I make? Jesus H. Christ. What kind of world are we living in? What kind of sick, sick world are we living in? That's a joke though. That's a joke. I'm lying. I'm fully lying. I've always paid my taxes and I love the IRS. I'm such a big fan. But you guys know that about me. Anyway, I wanted to do a little Christmas episode for you guys. A quick little Christmas episode. Actually, it might not be that quick. You'll see what, because one of the things that I want to do a little like recap slash review of a couple Christmas movies. And I have taken extensive notes on both of them. They're both very, very special films. And I want to tell you my Christmas list. I'm asking for a lot. Not from Santa, not from my family, not from my friends, but from God, I guess. We'll get to the movies as well. I've been watching a lot of Christmas movies and having fun. I don't usually do that, but it is fun, especially it's fun to watch movies that take place in the city you live in, because a lot of Christmas movies take place in NYC, New York City, a city that I do, in fact, live in. Not according to the Fashion Institute of Technology, but nonetheless. And I don't really fully understand why so many Christmas movies take place in New York. I asked my friend about it because I was really wondering, and she went, I don't know, the Macy's? I mean, maybe. I've never seen Miracle on 34th Street, so maybe that's what that's about. The Herald Square Macy's? Maybe the Miracle was just a sale at the Herald Square Macy's. And honey, in this economy, that's a miracle. I am going home for Christmas. I'm leaving in a few days and I'm very excited. Going home to North Carolina, gonna hang out with my family. I used to not, by the way, there were like maybe 2, maybe even 3 years in New York where I would not go home for Christmas And I'm sure I could have. And I'm looking back, I think I didn't because I wanted to. I think I wanted to feel bad about my life. Does that make any sense? I wanted to be like, oh, I'm having a Christmas alone, or like with my friend who doesn't even celebrate Christmas. I'm not spending it with my family. As if I was like abandoned. As if I was just stranded in New York City and my family just didn't love me enough to get me to go home for Christmas when I just didn't buy a plane ticket. But got one this year. I'm excited to be back in North Carolina for a week and a half and to see my family and to celebrate Christmas. We'll probably just be like opening presents and eating Chinese food. But you know what? Ideal. I don't really trust families who do a whole production for really any holiday, but especially Christmas. If you're slicing open a ham for Christmas dinner, personally, I just feel like you've lost it. That's just where I'm coming from. That's kind of how I grew up. And I'm probably cynical for thinking that like cute family stuff and cute wholesome traditions is like cringe. But sometimes it's like the youngest person in your family is 24 and you're wearing matching candy cane onesies on Christmas morning. What's going on? What's the deal with that? So I'm glad I won't be doing that. But you know what? I want to tell you all about my Christmas list. I have a lot of things that I'm asking for just from sort of the universe. There's a lot that I want out of life and out of the world. And I compiled a list of the things that I'm wishing for this Christmas, this holiday season. And let's go through it. And I will heavily elaborate on every single point. Okay, my Christmas list. Number one thing I want non-elevated basics to exist again. And speaking of the Herald Square Macy's, I went there. I talked about this experience live on TikTok the other day. I went to the Herald Square Macy's and I mean, I was kind of just looking around, but I was also like, you know what? I need some basics. I have a lot of prints. I want some stuff where I can really outfit repeat and not a lot of people are going to notice, or if they do, they won't really care because that's a lot more acceptable. And I went into Macy's. Let me tell you, not a solid print to be found. Not a solid print in sight. And everything was just Forever 21 quality. Everything was made out of straight, like, car oil. It was disgusting. Except really the designer stuff. But even that stuff was questionable. You can't even go to a department store and get basics anymore. And if you want to buy basics, they're elevated. There's no basics anymore. There's elevated basics. And let me tell you one thing about elevated basics. They're not even elevated in quality. It's not like, oh, this is a basic, but we have this really gorgeous, thick fabric and incredible construction. It's just an asymmetrical cardigan. That's not elevated. That's just no longer a basic anymore. Remember when you could just walk into a store and buy a 100% cotton turtleneck? Those days are over. Now, if you want basics that aren't from the row, they're from like Old Navy. And I think that's sick. So my first Christmas wish, bring back non-elevated basics. Bring back basic basics. Is that so much to ask? My second Christmas wish. I think in 2023, I think I'm ready to meet my first husband. You know, I don't think we're going to have a long marriage before you're like, oh, geez Louise, you're settling down. No, ma'am. I just want to meet my first husband. What's wrong with that? And I wrote down a few bullet points because I kind of decided what I'm looking for. And I really fleshed out the vision. And I've done this before where I've decided exactly the type of man that I'm looking for. And I didn't write it down. But I would talk about it with my friends point by point, jokingly, including first name and all, like the school he went to and all. And then, you know what? I found him. Down to the name, I found that man. Anyway, this is my vision for my first husband. So if Santa's listening, get me this. I want a guy named Jack. Okay? First and foremost, I love a Jack. And this is what I'm envisioning. He's a professor, right? He's like an econ professor at NYU or Columbia. And perhaps most importantly, he dresses like a professor. Tweed, reinforced suede elbow patches, trousers, loafers, glasses. Ooh, tortoiseshell glasses. I would love that. He's a professor and, you know, he makes money there. He also naturally comes from money. And what I really appreciate in people who have money, I really appreciate the people who are heirs to random things. And I think maybe perhaps his great-grandfather, like, invented the staple remover. That's what I'm thinking for Jack. His background, he's kind of in a gray area between Jewish and Italian. And you know exactly what I mean. You know exactly what I mean. And he has beautiful dark curly hair and olive skin. And he's kind of cool, but he's also kind of a loser. Like, he's the cool professor. His students think he's cool, but he collects Rubik's cubes and the really complicated Rubik's cubes too, where they get to a shape where you don't even know what that shape is called. He has a whole shelf full of them. And that's what I'm picturing. I'm manifesting it. That's going to be my first husband. Our marriage will last 2.5 months. I'll tell you that right now. But it'll be a fun one. I see that for me in 2023. My next point on my Christmas list, and I bet you could predict this, I want another Folklore / Evermore from our girl Taylor. That's what I want. Because you know what? Midnights was fun. It was fun. But let's be honest. There was no this is me trying. They told me all my cages were mental, so I got wasted like all my potential. And my words shoot to kill when I'm mad. I have a lot of regrets about that. I was so ahead of the curve. You know what happened? The curve became a sphere. Fell behind all my classmates. And I ended up here. I want another Taylor Swift album with songs about wanting to drive your car off of a cliff. And I am hoping and praying to a certain someone whose birthday is coming up that Santa will deliver. The next thing I would like companies to stop doing marketing towards young people. That's what I would like. I am sick and tired. And you know what? I'm also sick and tired of being sick and tired. I am done with seeing Subway ads that are like, a bae ghosted you? Buy a Casper mattress. I saw one the other day, you know, the company like Hims and Hers, where they sell like Zoloft and Viagra. I saw a Subway ad from them that went, when every nap is a depression nap. I mean, this is the state of mental health care in the United States. We talk all the time, all this progress we're making. We're making so much progress. There's so many more resources. And guess what our resources are? BetterHelp. BetterHelp therapists who took a psychology course one time and are typing, don't be sad with one hand and eating a burrito with the other. And then we have on the psychiatric side, we have people who sell antidepressants on the internet making ads like, that moment when you have clinical depression. Are you joshing me? Are you Drake and joshing me? Bring back electroshock therapy. Bring it back. Because you know what? At least it works. We can't say that about everything else we have now. There is such a stigma with electroshock because of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. If only Jack Nicholson wasn't such a good actor, even though he was a slut. But he's a great actor. But you know what? At least it works. It works. And it isn't administered over an app. You think we've gotten better because Hims and Hers is selling Lexapro? Please. Next on my Christmas list, I want smoking to be allowed indoors. Some places, okay? I want laws to extend, you know, to a few more places, because there are a few places. Like cigar bars, you can You can light up a cigar or a cigarette. And listen, I'm not a big smoker. I'm not even a smoker. Occasionally, I'll indulge in a cigarette or two. And I don't endorse cigarettes because not everyone is me. Not everyone has the gorgeous talent of being able to smoke a cigarette every once in a while. Some people get hooked, which I don't really understand. There's not much to get hooked on. For me, it's really about the ritual and the glamour. I'm not sitting around thinking about nicotine all day, unlike many of you. So I'm not going to sit here and be sponsored by Big Tobacco, but it is crazy that there's hardly anywhere where you can smoke indoors. Why can't I light up a ciggy at an IHOP? It's an IHOP. That's what it's for. If you can't smoke at an IHOP, what can you do in this country? Some free country this is. Can't smoke a cigarette at an IHOP? And AOC isn't saying a word. It's unbelievable. And I know people go, it smells bad. Cigarettes smell bad. No, they don't, liar. They don't. I love the smell. Because you know what? It does kind of smell like death. I'm not going to lie. It kind of smells like death, but in a good way. You know what I mean? A cigarette smoke sort of invokes the image of, like, sure, an open casket funeral, but an open casket funeral with a wonderful makeup artist. That corpse just has a beautiful lash on. That's what cigarette smoke invokes in me, and I think I should be smelling it far more often. Next Christmas wish. This is sort of an either or. Either death to faux leather, or ideally the invention of a faux leather that isn't disgusting. Because isn't it crazy that pleather rebranded to vegan leather? That's ridiculous. That, I mean, you know how we look back at the 90s and it's like, oh my God, it was so crazy. Or whenever this was, it was so crazy that people were talking about, you know, how you should use plastic instead of paper because it's more eco-friendly. I think that's how we're going to look back on faux leather, this faux leather era we're in. And I do wish I could be more ethical, right? Because I have my favorite pair of knee-high leather boots that I wear almost every day in the fall and winter, which, by the way, I just had to get them. I had to go to a cobbler and get them resold. I mean, the same amount that I spent on the goddamn boots in the first place. But they were a good price, and the style isn't being made anymore. So I had to spend that money. And that was after, by the way, that price was after I haggled. And I don't feel amazing about wearing leather shoes. I'm not obsessed with killing cows. If there's one thing about me, I've never been obsessed with killing cows. But I almost feel like it's more ethical to wear real leather that can last for the rest of your life if you keep, you know, going to the cobbler and getting it cobbled, than to wear shoes made out of fossil fuels that peel after three wears. You're going to have to buy a million pairs of those. That can't be good for your karma in the universe. It's kind of like faux fur. People go, oh, faux fur, it's so much more ethical. Is it? Is it? Because not only will faux fur last maybe, whatever, a season instead of several generations, it's made of plastic. Is that more ethical? I don't know. The animal people are going to be mad at me. But I feel like between, I shouldn't argue this. I'll say it anyway. I feel like between animals and the environment should come first, right? Animals famously live in the environment, as do we. If Earth dies, all the animals die. Hello. So I want this whole faux leather situation fixed. And the next thing I want is Mamma Mia 3. Is Mamma Mia 3. I've said it before that it took me long enough to watch Mamma Mia in the first place, but when I got into it, it changed my life. There was Mamma Mia 1. There was Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again. Bring it back. There are so few good things left in this world. There was just an Avatar movie that was 3 goddamn hours long, as if the first movie was good, the audacity. Come on, let's get a threequel to Mamma Mia. And I've Googled it. Everyone in the cast is down to do a third movie. And they go, oh, but we're concerned that we've run out of ABBA songs. I'm speaking on behalf of the entire population of Earth. We degaff. We DGAF. Do Dancing Queen 45 times for all I care. I want Pierce Brosnan shrieking out SOS the way he does for 18 movies in a row. Get to it. The next thing I'm asking for Christmas is death to anyone who opens a card-only establishment. This is such a tragic phenomenon, especially, I'm assuming, in big cities. I'm assuming this is a real, like, New York, LA thing. If it's happening everywhere in the world, that's even more tragic. But, I mean, to open up an establishment where they only accept card and you can't pay cash, first of all, that's a weird class thing. Not everyone has a card. Some people just have cash. Second of all, that's ridiculous. It's cash. It's money. Money is money. Just take the money. What's your issue? Take the money. Especially, and you know who's most guilty of this, is coffee shops, which is so random. And if they are a card-only coffee shop, sure, they probably do charge like $8 for a latte. So that's enough to justify using a card. But still, I can't pay cash for $8. That's ridiculous. And you know the vibe difference between card-only and cash-only establishments. Night and day, cash-only, beautiful vibes. Whatever they're serving, the food, the drinks, the best you could possibly ask for. The best experience. Whoever works there, you're going to have a great conversation with them. Card only? Disgusting vibes. A watered-down cappuccino. Rancid crowd. Just such an expectation to tip in spite of the entire experience. And also, I do believe, unless it's a sit-down place, yeah, you should be able to take tips, but put it in a jar. Not an iPad. Rude. If you, as an establishment, have the money for a whole iPad situation, you have the money to pay your employees enough that they don't need a tip to pour something in a cup. You have the money. The next thing I want for Christmas is for Kiki Palmer to have her own talk show. As you know, as you very well know if you listen to this podcast, I've been very into the Drew Barrymore show recently. For obvious reasons, if you've seen it, incredible television program. And it's got me thinking, because I really think that there's, between her and Kelly Clarkson, I think there is slash will continue to be a daytime talk show renaissance, with specifically hosted by people who are entertainers first. Because we don't want journalism. We want actresses to show us their muffin recipes. That's what we want. And I think Kiki Palmer would be the perfect pick for that type of show. Because she's already a multi-hyphenate, so personable, so charming. You know what I watch whenever I'm feeling sad? I watch that video of Norm Macdonald flirting with her. Such a wonderful moment on Conan. He's like talking about how he can't even focus because he's sitting next to such a vision and she's so flattered. It's just a wonderful moment. I want more moments like that. With Kiki Palmer on television. And you know who else I want on television? Back on television is Miss Wendy Williams. Naturally. If you haven't seen her Lifetime movie, by the way, watch it. I don't have time to get into it. But I know she's going through a hard time right now. Her show is off the air for that reason. But I see her coming back from these struggles. And Wendy, I mean, she was so goddamn funny. I've been watching so many clips of the Wendy Williams show, and there are so many just incredible moments. And I know, before you say anything, I know she has said terrible things about people. But did we have a bad time hearing them? No, not one bit. And she is really going through a hard time right now, which is unfortunate. And I hate people going, ooh, karma, because of all the things she said. Intense thing to say. Bold thing to say that someone deserves to go through an addiction like that because, like, they said rude things about pop stars. Relax. Shit talking is not as serious as addiction. Get into the real world. And I am by no means saying that she's a good person. But do I want her to make a comeback? 100%. And we all do. If we're not lying to ourselves, we all do. We want Wendy Williams back. Let's say it out loud because it's true. And the last thing I want every train to be like the 4 and the 5. And let me elaborate, because if you don't live in the city, you may not be familiar, but the 4 and the 5 are express trains. And let me tell you, they absolutely hurdle you towards your destination. They will catapult you towards the next stop. And I love that efficiency. We need more of that. Every train, and really everything, should be like the 4 and the 5. Just boom, let's go. So those are my Christmas wishes. And I hope they all come true. Maybe we'll revisit them another time, maybe next Christmas. But what I really want to do now, for the rest of the episode, really, I want to get into a couple Christmas movies. I wanted to talk about and really walk you through, nearly scene by scene, by the way. I took extensive notes. Like, I had to cut a lot of it out because I'm looking at a Google Doc right now. I don't even want to say how many pages because I'm embarrassed. And because I double-spaced it, so I was going to say I don't really know how much it would actually be. I guess I could just divide the number of pages by 2. Whatever. But we're going to get into this. Warning, spoilers ahead. Let me tell you what these two movies are because they're so special. Number one is The Holiday Sitter, starring Jonathan Bennett from Mean Girls. He played, I forget the name. But he played the love interest in Mean Girls, the one who asked, what day is it? On October 4th, you know, that meme people repost every goddamn year. It's starring him. And if you haven't heard about it yet, it's the first gay Hallmark movie, baby. And I was so excited to watch it. I got a 7-day free trial to, like, Philo or something, a streaming platform I've never even heard of, but I'll do it for The Holiday Sitter. And the second Christmas movie is a little film I like to call A Cinderella Christmas. And this, if you couldn't tell, is A Cinderella Christmas Tale, directed, dramatic pause, by the sister, dramatic pause, of, dramatic pause, okay, I'll say it, Elon Musk, directed by Elon Musk's sister. And it is about a woman who falls in love with a wealthy man. So we'll get into The Holiday Sitter first, but we will get into that as well. And maybe we'll learn a little something about sort of Elon Musk and his family along the way. Let's start with The Holiday Sitter, the first gay Hallmark movie. And if I know anything about my audience, I know there are probably a few of you whose ears are perking up saying, ooh, I want to watch that. So if you don't want spoilers, because I'm breaking down many a scene, skip to meh, 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 meh. Skip to this time. Meh, 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 meh. 42 minutes and like 5 seconds. But I'll have you know, there are no, you know, it's a Hallmark movie. There are no plot twists or anything. I don't think it's going to affect your viewing experience, whether or not you know exactly what's going to happen. But let me tell you exactly what happens with my pages of double space notes. This is what school prepares you for. Okay, so Jonathan Bennett is playing the lead, a character named Sam. And first we get some establishing shots of New York City. And then the first scene, by the way, I don't know if you can hear it. I'm kind of like running out of breath and I'm literally lying down. I don't know what's wrong with me. Either it's the energy drink I just drank, which it probably isn't with my caffeine tolerance, or I'm just so excited about this movie, or I'm about to have a panic attack. So I guess we'll find out. Anyway, the first scene, it begins with the main character, Sam. And by the way, with both of these movies, I'll be saying the main character's name, everyone else, whatever. I won't make you follow multiple names. Sam is sitting in a bar and drinking a martini, and he is telling himself out loud, okay, don't look for a reason to run. And then his date arrives. So we've established commitment issues right away. They sit at a circular booth. Fancy. New York, not a lot of space in this city. So if an establishment has circular booths, you know they're paying quite the rent. His date is a doctor. And the doctor, he starts talking about like tonsil surgery and stuff like that. We've all been on a date with a surgeon who's shown you a picture of someone's chopped up open liver. But that's never stopped me from going on a second date. So Sam, we find out he's kind of a finance bro. This is his character. He's a finance bro with commitment issues in New York. Can you imagine? LOL. And his date, his doctor date, is watching like kids run around in this restaurant, and he's sort of kid crazy. He's a new uncle, and he's like, oh, I can't wait to start a family. And Sam, he degaff about family. Not a value of his, no siree. And his Christmas plans are actually going to Hawaii to celebrate without his family, just going alone. Like me when I don't buy a plane ticket to North Carolina, and then I feel bad for myself as if nobody loves me. Cut to the love interest, who is hanging out with Sam's family. So he doesn't know Sam yet. They don't know each other yet. But he is neighbors with Sam's family. So obviously they don't know each other because Sam degaff about his family. He's not visiting. He's not meeting the neighbors. But, you know, the family in question is his sister, who's this girl with bangs, and her hot husband. And they are having a child. And they have to, like, leave their town. I didn't really, maybe I didn't pay attention at this part. Maybe they just didn't really elaborate a lot. I think maybe they, like, have a surrogate who's about to go into labor. So they have to go, like, pick up the kid. So long story long, they need a babysitter for the holidays. Or for, like, right before the holidays. Eventually, out of sheer desperation, they're like, maybe we should call Sam up. Cut to, Sam finds out that his bestie is engaged. His bestie, who I believe does not even show up for the rest of the movie, so I don't know what's going on there. I'm pretty sure she's in one scene, if I'm recalling correctly. He finds out that she's engaged, and he feels betrayed. Because even though they're like 40, and the actor is 40 as well, side note, he looks amazing. Even though they're like 40, he's like, how dare you settle down? And she goes, she basically says to him, you know what? More than anything, I hope you find a man. Rude. Rude, rude, rude. I mean, it's one thing to hope your friend finds a nice relationship, but more than anything? Girl, you're hopeless. But you know what? With those well-groomed eyebrows, I think there's still hope for you to find a man. That's probably why she didn't appear for the rest of the movie. Rude and nasty. So, the sister with bangs, she asks Sam, finally, to babysit. And when she asks this question, by the way, there's a record scratch sound effect out of nowhere. There has not been a sound effect in this movie yet, and there will not be a sound effect for the rest of the movie. But all of a sudden, Ruder? Which is, by the way, my interpretation of a record scratch. But you know what? He agrees. Cut to the babysitting of it all. He's looking after his sister with bangs, her two kids, and the first issue of the movie, they want pancakes. And Sam, surprise, surprise, cannot cook. You know his fridge is full of Fiji and cold brew and hard kombucha. So he's like, oh no, this is such an issue. And by the way, he just met like the sexy neighbor. So he's like, oh, sexy neighbor, come over. I need your help to make pancakes. I can't figure it out. That is so slutty to be like, you have to come over. I can't figure out how to crack this egg. But he comes over. He helps. He's very helpful. So helpful, in fact, that Sam decides to hire him as what he calls an uncle consultant. And he's like, you know what? You can help me babysit these kids and I will pay you a fee. And what is the fee, you ask? They don't say. They don't say. Isn't that annoying in movies where it's like, oh, I'll pay you this much, slides a piece of paper across the table, face down. Tell us the number. I'm nosy. It's a movie. You're not a real person telling me how much money you make. It's a fake number. Just come up with a fake number. Whatever. So they get to that arrangement. And the neighbor, we find out, is a big, big family guy. And he is actually starting the adoption process alone. Because he can't find a guy who won't ghost him the second he finds out how interested he is in starting a family. But that doesn't stop Sam from making googly eyes at him, even though it's the thing that stopped him from dating everyone on Earth in the first place. Ignoring major incompatibilities because he's hot. I mean, work. We've been there. We've all been there. Oh, your family wants me to convert to a religion that I've never even heard of before we continue dating. But you know what? You have a perfect hairline at 32. Let's start the process. Next, there's a shoehorned Mean Girls reference where Sam wakes up to the dog licking his face and goes, stop trying to make fetch happen. Funny. So the sister with bangs, she gets her baby, who cares? And then we have sort of the first sexy moment between Sam and the neighbor. Not sexy, because it is Hallmark, but there's a tension. There's a real moment of tension there where the neighbor is painting. Oh, he's also like redoing the house. There's a lot of unimportant parts in this movie, but he's painting and Sam is like, can I help? And he's like, oh, I wouldn't want you to get paint on that nice sweater. And Sam takes off the sweater. And he has like a black t-shirt on underneath. I don't really know. I was really expecting something sexier. I don't really know what I was expecting. Because why would he be completely shirtless, especially in a Hallmark movie? I was kind of thinking maybe it would be an undershirt, like white, see-through, and his nipples are hard. I think that's what I was kind of expecting. And they have a moment as well where Sam holds the neighbor's hand, naturally a whole theatrical thing where the camera moves to their hands and Sam looks at their interlocked hands, surprised, as if he didn't just initiate the hand-holding. It reminded me of that Wendy Williams moment where she goes, death to all of them. And then her jaw just drops. She looks shocked at what she just said. And it's like, you've said it. Exactly. Also, every time Sam looks at the neighbor, it's like the googly, goggly eyes. He looks at that man like he's a Diet Coke in the desert. Anyway, Christmas Eve, the kids are going to sleep, getting rested up for Christmas Day, leaving the men alone downstairs. And Sam is sharing about his family that he doesn't give a fuck about and going, my family has a tradition on Christmas Eve where we turn off all the lights in the house except on the tree, and then we listen to Silent Night and just be present. That was word for word, by the way. I wrote that down. And then they're like, gasp, we should do that right now. They turn off all the lights. The neighbor starts singing Silent Night. By the way, what a boring goddamn Christmas song. I would have been like, hold on, I have to change into nothing but a red boa and just throw myself on the couch and do Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. I think that would get the romance ball rolling far more quickly. Anyway, they have this intimate moment. They hold hands again. Sam starts to go in for the kiss, but his sister with bangs and her hot husband and their dad and the new baby arrive. And Sam, you know, they meet the baby or whatever. Sam is like, you know what? I think I'm going to stay here for Christmas. I think I love my family now. And of course, the arrangement is over now. So Sam pays the neighbor with a check vintage. And the neighbor is like, I don't need this. And slips the check back into Sam's stocking, Which, by the way, I never understand the, like, oh, I can't accept this. This is too generous. I can't accept this. I'll play along with that. But at the end of the day, can I accept this? Yes, I can, certainly. If someone's giving me something, like, as long as I know that they can afford it, I will take it. Because later the neighbor says, it's so transactional. What's wrong with a transaction? You can be romantic with someone and take their money at the same time. Please. Okay, whatever. They wake up on Christmas morning and Sam is really, really having a lot of feelings about the neighbor. And he's thinking, I might actually want a family. And let's note once more, at this point in the movie, they haven't even kissed yet. Please. Although, you know what? I can't lie. This is me when I have like 3 drinks on a first date. I'm like, he wants to get married as soon as possible. But maybe I do too. But then you wake up the next morning, come to your senses. You're like, ugh, he texted me. So at this point, they're both ready to confess their love. Sam is heading next door. The neighbor still thinking that Sam is going to Hawaii. He's headed to the train station. And they literally run into each other right on the neighbor's porch. And Sam is like, I care about you. And they finally kiss. And everyone in the neighborhood claps and cheers. By the way, I'm 100% the nosy bitch standing out in her lawn like a scarecrow going, they're kissing. They're kiss. Honey, come out here. Tell me if you think they're using tongue. Yay. Bizarre neighborhood. The end. The end of Hallmark's first gay movie. That's my summary. What did we learn? We learned if you don't want kids, give up on that value immediately when you meet someone sexy. We learned if you make an agreement with someone, don't pay them because they'll be offended. And we learned hang out with your family sometimes. Honestly, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I'm glad Hallmark did a gay movie, even though I'm honestly... Let's be honest, it's surprising. Even in 2022, it is surprising because it's Hallmark. It's like when Barstool podcasts are like, let's talk about feminism. You know, not that that's progressive, but that's radical for you, I'll tell you that much. Now let's get into A Cinderella Christmas by Elon Musk's sister. And I will tell you, I feel like this episode is getting a little long, or it's not getting long. But it will be long because I took extensive notes. I mean, this is so fascinating for me. Do you blame me? A movie directed by Elon Musk's sister about a woman who falls in love with a rich man? Fascinating. Is it good? Of course not. I had a blast watching, though. Okay, starting from the beginning, some classic shots of like Christmas. One of the first shots is cookies being taken out of the oven. They look like shit, by the way. So unevenly cooked, some of them are verging on burnt. We meet our main character, Angie, a blonde woman in a very kitschy Christmas apron and a messy bun, and she's baking. And then Angie's cousin walks in, who is a girl with side bang. Just to give you an image. And you know what? The side bang enters the room first. Let's be honest. It always does. So the cousin is Angie's partner at an event planning company that is owned by the cousin's dad. And also, surprise, surprise, Angie's parents are dead, typical. So she's lived with her cousin and was basically raised by her cousin's dad who owns the company. But the cousin comes in, immediately starts criticizing her, goes, you know what? You're working this hard. But you give yourself all this work. And I absolutely agree. You're baking cookies as an event planner. That's not your job. Find a bitch who bakes cookies and pay her. Time is money. And money is money. And you're not going to get hired again with those cookies. So we find out that Angie, she saved up some money. And she is going to ask her her uncle, her cousin's dad, if you don't know what an uncle is, she is going to ask if she can buy the event planning company. I don't know how she saved up all this goddamn money to buy a company, but whatever. Also, one of the people, this is not important, but one of the people who works with them at the company, played by Danny DeVito's daughter. Anyway, they have sort of a business dinner with the father slash uncle, and he decides to leave the company to both of them. And Angie, that was her name, right? Angie? Yes. Slay. Angie is like, cousin, I wanted the company. And Miss Cousin goes, why don't you buy the company off of me in work? Why don't you just be on call for me, do whatever I say, and you can have the company. Just do it until I get married. And she is hoping to meet a rich bachelor at the Christmas ball that they're throwing. And they meet up with the guy who's throwing the ball, which, by the way, I wrote in my notes, they meet with the ball guy, geez Louise, who, by the way, sounds like a pervert. He's talking about, oh, I love the idea of a masquerade with no names exchanged. Pervert. And also the cousin is talking to him. She is so desperado. No wonder you can't find a man, Miss Giggles. Relax. Take a breath. But maybe I'm wrong, because then he, the guy who will from now on be referred to as Rich Guy, he asks her to be his guest to the ball. And we also learn that Rich Guy's mom wants him to get married ASAP, and he cannot get his inheritance until he's married. So Angie, in her new sort of assistant role, she goes to pick up her cousin's dress for the ball, and the designer insists that she try it on. And it's supposed to be this like magical Cinderella moment. The dress, let me tell you, Joann's Fabrics, ever heard of it? It is a blue sequiny tulle nightmare with a single strap neckline, like one of those sports bras. And the designer is looking at her in the mirror and just throws a flat piece of blue tulle over her shoulders, as if that's a beautiful finishing touch. And I'm not going to lie, it's not, it's close, but it's not quite gouge my eyes out level horrible. But it is notably pretty bad of a dress, especially with the way they hype it up. You know, in movies where they're like, I've never felt more beautiful. And you're like, what a hideous life you must be leading. What's the matter with you? So the cousin calls, and it turns out she can't go to the ball. She had a bad chemical peel. Her face is all bloody. So Angie immediately swoops in and takes her hair appointment. Her hair and makeup appointment, I guess. She gets her makeup done as well. And she acts like nobody has ever touched her face before. Acts like she's terrified of a powder brush. Don't you hate when girls do nonsense like that? What are you even doing? What is this gunk you're putting on my eyelashes? You know what mascara is. Please. You're being ridiculous. Honestly, both of these characters are kind of, as the kids say, pick-me's in different ways. Because one of them is giggle, 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 I want to get married. And the other one is messy bun, freaking out because someone put foundation on her. So Angie decides to go to the ball with her cousin's invitation, even though the cousin calls her up and is like, I know what you're about to do. Don't you dare. But Angie is like, I'm going to go. It'll be an experience. I look beautiful in my dress, custom made by Joann of Joann's Fabrics. And she is like, you know what? We're using masquerade masks. I'll just hide behind that. Eyes wide shut. Eyes wide shut. Eyes wide shut. Whatever, cut to the party. Angie is having a blast. At this party, there's fairy lights everywhere. Yeah, that's about it, actually. That's the main contributor to the ambiance of the party. And guess who walks up to her? None other than Rich Guy. For some reason, because they're in these masks that only cover their eyes, they don't recognize each other. And he just walks up to her, I mean, as if he was in a trance, and starts doing this creepy whispering about, oh, you're one of a kind, I can tell. And she's like, oh. And then they dance. They dance. And the camera, I mean, it's like fading in between angles of them dancing. It's one of those scenes in a movie where they're acting as if two people have chemistry when they visibly do not. And to be fair, I don't even think this is like a low budget thing. Like, oh, this is a trashy Christmas movie. What movies do have chemistry anymore? I'm wondering, I'd like somebody to name a name. Remember How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? Remember that conversation Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson had at that diamond party or wherever, where Matthew walks up to her and he's like, hi. And she's like, hi. And he's like, you unattached? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, you hungry? And she's like, starving. That is chemistry right there. Anyway, they're talking. The guy is like complaining about his mother. That's his idea of romantic conversation, I guess. But then he's like, you know what? I want to know more about you. What's your whole deal? Who are you? And she goes, I swear to God, she goes, I'm just a girl trying to be brave. I mean, me, when someone at a party asks what I do, are you kidding me? What's my job? Well, I'm just a girl trying to be brave. That's my new Instagram bio. there's a game at this party where they, this will be important later. It's boring now, but they exchange these Christmas stockings with like a handful of little things that have sentimental value to them. And Angie and the rich guy win the game. But when they're called to get the prize, she's like, oh, I can't be on the stage where everyone will see me. And she runs away. Also, she runs into the dress designer on the way out, famously Joanne of Joanne's Fabrics, and describes the night as the best night of her life. Because some man complained about his mother to you? He's not that hot. My God. So the next morning, Angie is looking through his little Christmas stocking, and she's bringing the items out, and she's talking to her bunny about this guy. My favorite part, she goes, and he's funny. Look. And pulls out a t-shirt that said, I ate the world's hottest pepper, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. And by the way, this isn't even important, but later in the movie, he's explaining the sentimental value that all these had to him. And he goes, you know what? When I ate the world's hottest pepper and I got that lousy t-shirt, that was the first time that I really accomplished something because of who I was and not the family I came from. I mean, you ate a hot pepper, but whatever you say. So the rich guy, he makes an announcement on the internet or the news or something where he invites everyone to another event. And the event, wait for it, is his wedding. His wedding where he is marrying whoever left that stocking with him. He goes, we won the game and your prize is a wedding on Christmas Eve with me. Because I fell in love with the woman behind the mask. I mean, I don't care how rich and or sexy you are. Planning a wedding with someone you spoke to for one night, assuming they'll just be like, okay, on my way, is insane. Wild, wild, wild. And Angie is like, I don't know if I should go through with this wedding. No shit, by the way. But she isn't so sure because all of the magazines, all the tabloids say, he's a big ol' slut. He's a big player. Which, why are magazines talking about some rando with a trust fund? I don't think he was even a socialite or anything. He just had money. The last time magazines talked about some rando trust fund kid, it was the preppy killer. And this guy didn't kill anyone that I know of. But he wants the girls to plan this wedding. Apparently he really loved their event planning, despite their event planning skills. And he's like, let's get the ball rolling. Let's figure out this wedding. And he knows like two things about the girl. So he's like, let's have a classic Christmas wedding because she told me she likes Christmas. And then Angie and her cousin are talking. By the way, the cousin is outfit repeating from the first scene where she's introduced. I'm sorry, the Musk family didn't have a budget for another outfit? This character is supposed to be vain and materialistic And also, how many outfits could she have during the entire movie? 5? You couldn't have made it 6? Whatever. Honestly, sustainable. Respect. So the cousin figures out that Angie is the girl that the rich guy met, and she's like, let's tell him that it was me. I want to get married to a rich bachelor, and you want me to get married because then you don't have to be my assistant anymore. So they do it. They tell rich guy that the cousin was the girl he met. And she even meets his mother, makes a terrible impression. Although his mother, MILF though, giving Upper East Side, Chanel, pearl sexiness. Love it. By the way, Angie has terrible style. And I'm talking about like button-up shirts and cardigans and tan pants and flats. Even though, honestly, the rich guy dresses sexy. Like nice sweater cardigans, suede elbow patches. I guess they ran out of wardrobe budget for the women. So the cousin is like, okay, Angie, let's use an earpiece to communicate with each other when I'm talking to the rich guy, because she didn't know what to say. She wasn't actually there that night that they met. She needs to say the right things. So they're doing that, and rich guy officially proposes to the cousin. And right before he's about to propose, she pulls out a selfie stick. I mean, me if I would ever dare post a man on social media. But the rich guy tells Angie he still feels like he's in love, but not when he's around her cousin. And they almost kiss. So he's starting to get a bit suspicious, and he confronts the cousin, his new fiance, and is like, okay, why don't you explain to me what these items in your stocking mean? I'm wondering. And she did not pass the test. So he's like, okay, let me try one last thing. He has her try on the Joanne's dress, and it does not zip up. And he says, you know what? Sorry, fatty, I can't marry you. His words, not mine. Which I guess makes her like the ugly stepsister, despite the outfits that her cousin continues to wear. Although I too would be the ugly stepsister in the original Cinderella story. My size 10 feet. I'd be like, let me just get my toes and my heels removed. And then I'll be royalty. So rich guy asks Angie if she loves him. Which, bitch, no. You've had like 3 conversations. These movies. I mean, I think maybe any movie that starts with people being strangers and ends with a declaration of love should perhaps be 3 hours, like that Avatar remake that nobody's going to watch. Because this hour and a half movie, these people do not know each other. Although he is, you know, he is rich. Actually, carry on. But don't carry on, because he goes on to say, you know what, with you, I'm not going to be the slut I once was that you've been reading about in the Daily Mail. I'll be different for you because you're different. Run. These are the romance movies we're putting out there. What if an impressionable young woman sees this? People are always talking about princess movies and, oh, this is such a bad example because it teaches women that they have to wait for a prince to save them. What about movies where a man says, I'm different now because I've met you? And she says, okie dokie. I think far more women have had their lives destroyed because of that particular situation. Anyway, now it's the day of the wedding. They're getting married, everyone's outside waiting, and the cousin is getting ready to be wed, and the two cousins are arguing. Because Angie thinks she is making an ethically dubious choice by lying to this person to get married to him, and the cousin thinks Angie should mind her own goddamn business. But, get this, their mics are on. They're mic'd. And everyone outside who's mingling and eating the hors d'oeuvres can hear them. So rich guy comes in and he tells the cousin, you know what? I'm not accepting my inheritance anymore because I don't want people to think that you're a gold digger. And she's like, well, no, accept your inheritance. Which, I mean, that makes perfect sense. I can't say that I would behave any differently. I'd be like, why don't you accept it and not tell anyone? And I just won't drive around town in a Range Rover, whatever. But she protests, and he calls the wedding off. He makes that big decision. And then his mother is like, you know what? Actually, slay. I respect that decision. And because of that, I think you're a man. You're a man now, and I'm going to give you your inheritance. And then the cousin experiences some character development. She tells Angie, you know what? I have behaved this way because I am Jelly Clarkson of you. Because I think that my father loves you more. And her dad is also standing right next to them being like, no, no, I don't. So who knows? But the rich guy then talks to Angie and he says, you know what? I was scared. I was scared. I was a man who wasn't trying to be brave. Because you know what? When I met someone who didn't want my money, I wasn't sure if she would want me. By the way, wouldn't it be funny if she was like, I don't. Like, you better go after those gold diggers again, because this personality of yours, the cardigans are cute, but the rest, not into it. But she makes the decision. She decides to marry this guy who has told her that he's going to behave differently because she's different. LOLOL. You can't see me right now, but I'm literally ruffling all over the place. I'm ruffling left, right, and center. But they do get married. Angie looks good for the first time in this movie. It isn't a good wedding dress by any means, obviously, but it's not tan pants. So good for her. Character development is character development. And guess what? At the very end, the cousin catches the bouquet. What a beautiful tale for this Christmas. Now, what did we learn? First and foremost, and I think we've all learned this in our personal lives, men will want to marry the first woman who will listen to them complain about their mother. And you can find a man if you wear a dress that looks like a sports bra. And lastly, but never leastly, anyone can outfit repeat, no matter how materialistic you are. Oh my God, I'm exhausted after that. But honestly, I feel like a changed woman. Anyone else? Anyone else feel like a changed woman? I'm raising my hand right now, so feel free to raise yours. I mean, I gotta say, I loved experiencing this double feature. First, by watching these two movies alone in my bed. And second, by recounting them to you. I am of the belief that The Holiday Sitter overall, better movie. Not that either of them are good, naturally. But better movie. More plausible plot, more chemistry, even though that's saying nearly nothing. But A Cinderella Christmas may have, in fact, been more entertaining, especially with the little Elon Musk connection. I wonder if this Cinderella story will happen IRL with Elon. Except he's going to, like, tweet, I've decided to start planning a wedding with the girl at my party who told me that it's actually really good when self-driving cars hit kids. And you know what? We'll all cheer him on. We'll all stand in our yards and clap and cheer because love is love. Even Hallmark agrees all of a sudden. So what a magical Christmas journey and a fun Christmas episode for me, at least. And hopefully you had fun. Thank you for joining me. I hope your holidays, no matter what you're celebrating, are fabulous and you spend time with your loved ones and you take some time off. Don't be like that girl in the Hallmark movie. Going back to her small town for Christmas and being constantly on the phone trying to keep up with her big city job, put the phone down. And if you aren't with loved ones, just keep in mind, it could be worse. You could be the daughter of Danny DeVito playing a supporting role in A Cinderella Christmas. I have to go unsubscribe from that sketchy streaming platform I signed up for to watch The Holiday Sitter. But I'll talk to you soon. Happy holidays, and to all, a good night. Bye.